This past election cycle, Paula Zahn was a viewer instead of a reporter for the first time in 30 years. She says the experience of being on the sidelines gave her a healthy perspective on what it's like to be a member of the audience and to have to wade through the daily dose of contradictory messages from both sides. Paula left CNN in July 2007 and recently took a job as co-host of WNET Channel 13 Sunday Arts, where she's paired with Philippe de Montebello for a weekly look at New York arts and culture. Ms. Zahn is an accomplished musician herself, by the way. She plays the cello, and she'll be performing at Carnegie Hall on December 2nd. That's tomorrow, with the Sejong soloists. I'm very pleased to welcome Paula Zahn to the show today. Hi.
It's so good to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
And it turns out this is not the first time you've been at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, I have practiced for many, many years. The first time I played in Carnegie Hall was with the New York Pops, which with Skitch Henderson conducting, which was such a thrill.
Was it difficult to keep your chops going? Because obviously you couldn't practice the way most musicians can when you were off doing some of those things for CNN.
You know, it's interesting. Prior to CNN, it was much easier for me to keep up with it. And in fact, before I ever started working in national television, I was in local television. So my first job was in San Diego, and I played in the San Diego Civic Symphony. In Houston, played in the Houston Civic Symphony. In Boston, I played in a local chamber music group. So I was really lucky with those local news jobs to have time at night to devote to my music. It became increasingly harder as three children came into my life and 4:30 a.m. wake-up calls for CBS and ABC News. But I still work at it.
And cello was first, I assume, before the interest in journalism.
Then you had to make choices. Oh, I had to make some tough choices. In fact, I headed off to college on a cello scholarship thinking that I was going to become a professional cellist. And I realized when I couldn't see the conductor my first day after my audition that this is going to be a long road. I attended.
Why couldn't you see the conductor?
Because I was sitting so far back in the section. I was always used to sitting first chair, first stand cello, and suddenly I think I was sixth stand cello.
You had to have binoculars on.
Exactly, and I was surrounded by extraordinary musicians. But I still have a great passion for music.
It's interesting that our next guest is Morris Robinson, who was an offensive lineman at the Citadel, played football, and is one of our leading bassists these days. So I guess there are people who have to make those choices. He wound up doing his first love, which was music. And now you're back to it. But what was it like to watch the historic election that we just went through from the sidelines?
It was very strange.
Was it frustrating because you'd always been in the middle of the action?
Well, it at times it was frustrating, but you have to understand I don't watch television like a normal viewer. And my poor kids have been subjected to this tyranny for many years. And I'm thinking, that should have gone longer. Look at that graphic. That's too confusing. And what you're looking at on the lower third of the screen doesn't match what they're saying. That makes no sense.
Or they're adjusting because the thing didn't come in. They were supposed to have a little report, and it's not happening. And you look, they're suddenly they're doing all sorts of things to kill some time.
Exactly. That happened. So that was more the technical way I've looked at a broadcast. But in terms of the journalism involved, I had been so much a part of the process that it was frustrating to me that I didn't have the information I thought I needed to understand who was lying that day.
And people weren't calling you and saying, your old friends in the business, saying, Paula, you should have seen what happened today.
You know, I have a bunch of friends who are in the trenches and they talk to me. But it actually was kind of a revelation. Because I think when you're in the trenches and you are constantly getting bombarded with information, sometimes I think that you're not making the information as clear as it can be. And when you're sitting on the sidelines, you're saying, wait a minute, that didn't make any sense.
There's also the forest from the trees problem, isn't there?
Sure. But what an exciting election
to
watch.
So when you were watching it, you now could see the forest from the trees for the first time in many years.
I'm not sure I could every day because, as you know, there's so much exaggeration involved in campaigns and in campaign ads. And I tried to read as much as I could to make sure I could cut through the clutter. But it's these are very confusing times, I think, for television news viewers when so much coverage is presented as sound, editorial, unbiased stuff when, in fact, many shows are meant to be opinion-aided. And sometimes as a viewer, if that's not clearly delineated, it's hard to cut through.
On the other hand, sometimes there are surprises that occur on the shows that aren't biased. A turning point in the election for many people was Katie Couric's interview with Sarah Palin.
Which was,
I mean, that wasn't on Fox.
Well, exactly. And yet, you know, there are still people out there sniping that those weren't unfair questions. I would argue that it is a fair question to ask someone who could potentially be president of the United States, what do you read? It wasn't said in a pejorative way.
It's not the same thing as when they asked Bill Clinton whether he wore boxers or briefs.
Right. It's a very different tone.
You're getting back to you as a cellist. Because I think we should get back to that. That's what you're doing now. And we'll talk about the Sunday Art Show as well. You'll be at Carnegie Hall tomorrow with the Sejong Soloists. Who are the Sejong Soloists?
They are a group of musicians, most of them internationally renowned soloists that come together for 40 to 50 chamber music concerts a year. It was a group that was founded by a wonderful Juilliard teacher, Huo Kong, whose vision it was to create this orchestra that didn't need a conductor. And I have never seen an ensemble play the way these musicians play. It's almost like they take their breath at the same time. There's a wonderful intimacy to the way they interpret music and
that's something
passion.
That comes through the rehearsal process, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Where I've watched some of those groups where just an eyebrow
I got that yesterday in a rehearsal. There's in that piece that you played coming in, that's actually the piece I'm going to be performing, and there's a nice cello part and a viola part and a violin solo part. And I was having trouble with a pickup to one of the lines at the very end, and the first chair violinist said, well, why don't I just raise my right eyebrow? I said, let's try it. That helped. But it's such a joy to be able to perform with people that make music so effortlessly.
There are also some incredible instruments that are going to be at the concert.
We're going to see a Strat, a Guarneri. And what's sort of interesting is that the concert is titled Violin Stories. And, for example, they're going to play some Fritz Kreisler music, but played on the violin that he owned at one time. So these wonderful threads that go throughout the program. And it's billed as sort of the violin being the voice of romance, of the string instruments. Of course, I would argue that cello is equally seductive. But
have you played a Strad cello or a Guarneri cello?
I played Yo-Yo Ma Strad. And one of the wildest
evenings. Did you sound
evenings,
like Yo-Yo Ma when you
played? I did not. I was doing a radio simulcast of Appalachian Waltz, which was the Appalachian Clogging Tune CD that came out 4 or 5 years ago. And it was down at the Bottom Line Club. And at the end of its debut, Yo-Yo handed me a Strad and said, come join us for this last number. Of course, I was sight reading and did the best I could do. I did not sound like Yo-Yo.
But
I've also played with the Muppets, which is right on up there. It was playing with Yo-Yo Ma.
Can you feel the difference when you're playing a Strad?
Absolutely.
And you can hear the difference?
You can. There's such a richness to the sound. And the amazing thing about his cello is it has a much smaller fingerboard than most cellos. So the you don't have to stretch as far in the fingerboard. And it was just very easy to play. And you don't have to force the sound out of it. It just comes alive.
My guest is Paula Zahn, who is now co-hosting with Philippe de Montebello a show on WNET Channel 13 called Sunday Arts. She also will be performing tomorrow night at Carnegie Hall with the Sejong Soloists. You also did a PBS special series on cancer.
Yeah, we're just actually finishing that up, taking a look at the recent breakthroughs in cancer treatment and what patients across the country could do to better access pain control, which a lot of them don't even realize they can access. So we're really trying to raise awareness of some of the new developments that could appreciably change cancer patients' comfort.
I can't remember how many years ago it was, at least 50 years ago, some president made the promise that we would beat cancer in our lifetimes. Well, that hasn't happened. And some of them, like melanoma, we still don't have the foggiest idea of how to treat them.
No, but what we do know is that over 30% of all cancers can be prevented. And we also know that the cancer mortality rates last week in a study appeared to be dropping, and there's a simple linkage. They think that fewer people are smoking. But if we could just get people to quit smoking, which I know is a very difficult thing to do, if we could get people to eat right, a lot of female cancers are a result of people overeating and not exercising. You know, you could bring down health care costs in a very dramatic way, but the message of prevention is a very difficult message to sell.
And when is the show, when is the series going to air?
We should have it done by March, and then it'll air in PBS affiliates across the country.
And then there is this Sunday Art Show, which Neil Shapiro used to host. Is it true that he fired himself and hired you?
He did.
And flipped in Montebello?
I said, I'm so grateful for you, Neil. I've never known anybody in the business that actually fired himself to make room for two new players.
The first show was in early November, and it was The Impressionists. So how do you decide what you're going to do a show on?
I am sort of brand new to the editorial process, and there's a great team in place that sort of had to plan the shows you're going to see in the next couple of weeks in advance of my coming on board. So now I'm going to have some input. And basically, we have a pretty good sense of what artists are coming to the city, musical artists, artists who paint and draw. And my involvement is going to be with interviewing those folks. So we'll pretty much know a month in advance if Daniel Barenboim's coming to town and can we get that interview. And
do you think that an interview of Daniel Barenboim in the end is all that different than an interview with a top politician? You're picking their brains, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And it never loses its fascination with me. I think if you go to an interview and you think you aren't going to learn something, you might as well keep the mic turned off. I've never gotten tired. I mean, think of the job you get to do every day. You get to talk with really
fast.
Well, I was going to say Paul Krugman. You know, you're a student.
Later,
you get
Ed
to
Louise
learn something
Huxtable
every day.
Is a great thrill for me.
Yeah, absolutely. But you never know what you're going to get out in an interview. And I think of the broad swath of artists I've interviewed over the years, from Pavarotti to Yo-Yo Ma to Renee Fleming. You're always surprised in an interview.
Do you think, you mentioned three musicians. Do you think the fact that you are a musician helped you in those interviews?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think that musicians know that you have an understanding of their language and what's meaningful to them and how to interpret music and how do you color that phrase.
Well, one of the big luxuries I have here is that I can work in the long form. Interviews take a while. This is one of our shorter interviews, and this one is over 20 minutes. And that's something that you must also appreciate going to PBS. They don't have to jam it all into 3.5 minutes.
It's such a luxury.
Go to a commercial.
Do you know how heartbreaking it is to spend 3 hours in the field and interview someone and have to reduce it to your best 3 minutes? How do you go about doing that? You always leave something on the cutting room floor that you regret, something that you think will give a little more clarity to the interview.
So, Paula, you're not going to go back to Hard News?
I probably will at some point. Just the right opportunity hasn't come along. I'm a real newsie at heart. It's in my veins. Every time there's a breaking news bulletin, and if I'm driving and I hear it on the radio, I have this sensation of, where do I need to go? Which airport do I need to go to get there? Because that's just the way you're trained. You go to where the news is breaking, and so I'm struggling with that a little bit.
Well, just try to apply it to every time you hear a cello being played.
Exactly. No, this is actually such a great opportunity before me because who else is covering the arts the way PBS does? And, you know, when you were talking with Paul and the state of the economy and the world we're living in now, when you think about what it means for an average American family to head off to the theater or head off to an orchestra concert, head off to Broadway, which now I'm hearing some shows are actually going to cut their matinees because they realize that most American families cannot afford the $400 it's going to cost to go to the theater. We bring this stuff into people's living rooms, and we're bringing great performances to the air. And I
and
think it's a great
alert,
public service.
You alert people to what's out there. This is something, this is a service we feel that we perform. We're alerting people to what's out there, what shows there are, what books are available, and then they can pick and choose based on this. We're not telling them what to read or to see, but we're presenting them with some kind of information that allows them to make a choice, and they can spend their money more wisely as a result.
Absolutely. But there's, you know, woeful programming on the arts. So we're delighted to have this opportunity to get it on the air.
And a reminder that Paula Zahn will be performing at Carnegie Hall tomorrow night at 7:30. For ticket information or more information about her show, Sunday Arts, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. We're going to go out with, is it Mano de Carnaval?
That's about as close as I can get. Carnival Morning by Luis Bonfa, which is the piece that I play the solo part in tomorrow, which I'm very excited about.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.